Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim with lesson number 16. And we will begin the fifth perek today, studying the first and second Mishnayos. For the next several prokim, from perek Chamishi until perek Tishii, from perek 5 until perek 9, we will be considering the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara with regard to the ovens that were used in the time of Chazal, the Tanur and the Kira. Those ovens were made of cheres, they were made of earthenware, and basically there are two categories or two types of ovens that were used. The tanur was made, the best way to imagine it is as a kind of a cone-shaped clay cheres. But imagine the cone to be inverted so that the wide end of the cone is on the ground and the narrow end protrudes upward. This is a primitive tanur. It has no bottom. In the wide side of the cone is open. It's placed upon the ground and cemented into the ground. But the ground, the earth, is the ground of the tanur. The tanur is used mainly for baking bread. And the bread was made by taking dough and putting the dough up against the walls, the upper walls, at the narrow open end of the cone or tanur. One was madbik, one stuck on this dough onto the inner wall of the tanur. And that's how it was baked. Therefore, the tanur was wide at the bottom, narrow toward the top, so that the heat necessary for the baking of bread, the high heat, the high temperature, would be retained within the oven. A kiro, another type of an oven, which was used not for baking bread, but for cooking, for bishul, was, imagine a cylinder. The walls, the vertical walls of the cylinder were parallel to each other. It wasn't like the tanur, wide at the bottom and narrow toward the top. But it was the vertical sides of the kira were parallel to each other, perpendicular to the earth. It too was placed upon the earth, upon the ground. And a kira had room on the top to place two kederos, two pots. So a kira was wide enough so that on its surface you could put, on its top surface you could put two kederos and you could cook whatever in those kederos, in that pot. We will also learn about a third variety, a kupach, which is essentially the same as a kira. Namely, imagine a cylinder, but at the top surface of the cylinder of the kupach, you could only place one pot. So the kupach was much narrower, half the width of the kira. The Mishnah begins and says, Tanur techiloso arbo. When one is producing a tanur of cheres, it is not mekabel tumah, as you're making it, unless it is 4 tfochim high. Vishirov la'afia. If the tanur became tome and broke, so if it's broken to small pieces, those pieces are tohor. But if one of the pieces was 4 tfochim high, so it retains the tumah and remains tome. Pieces which are less than 4 tfochim are tohor. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion. In the version of Kahati's Mishnayos, which I have before me as I speak, and which many of you may use. The language is Techiloso Arbo'o Veshirov La'afia. As far as my research shows, that is an error in the print. It should not say La'afia, it should say Arbo'o, and indeed in Kahati's commentary, it says Veshirov Arbo'o. So this is the opinion of Rab Meir with regard to a tanur. A tanur is not a tanur, so to speak, to be mekabel tuma unless it is four tfachim high. And if it breaks, only a shever, a broken piece, four tfachim high, retains the original tuma of the tanur. So holds Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim, however the chachomim say, v'med vorem amurim, when do we say, Techiloson arbo'o v'shirov arbo'o, only bigadol, only with a large tanur, which is made for baking. Avol bikoton, but if it's a small tanur, which is not even made for baking, for example, it's a toy for children to play with, it's a dollhouse tanur, then techiloso kol shehu, no matter how small it is, it is a keli, it is a toy of some sort, and therefore it is mekabel tuma, even if it is far less than four tfachim. V'shirov, and the shirayim, when it's broken, if rubo, if most of it remains, most of that original toy, tanur, remains, then it is still mekabel tuma. All this is true, Misheti gomer malachto. In other words, besides the height of four tfachim, according to the Chachamim, for a tanur gadol, and the height for a, according to the Chachamim, of a tanur katon, it is only mekabel tuma if, besides being the required height, it has also a finished product. A zehu gomer malachto. What do we consider to be the definition of a finished product? Mishiyasikenu kedei le'efos bo sufgonim. If it is sufficiently heated from within so that you could bake within it, sufgonim are sponge-like bits of dough, which are easier to bake, let's say, a jelly donut type baked good, which is softer and collapsible. You can bend it, you can squeeze it, it's like a sponge. That can happen more quickly in a oven, that can be baked more quickly than, let's say, a challah or a matzah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishayasik es hechodosh kedei le'efos bayoshon sufganim. It is sufficient if you heat the inside of a new oven, which is still in its being prepared to be an oven, if it is heated enough so that if the oven was older and stronger, it could bake sufganin, that is enough so that it's qualified to be a finished new oven. This is the simple translation of this Mishnah. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin, Kufchav Dalet Omed Aleph, 124a, clarifies this Mishnah in some detail. What is, I think, essential to know is that the Gemara there in Maseches Chulin focuses on the phrase of the Chachamim, on the opinion of the Chachamim, who distinguish between a Tanur Gadol and a Tanur Katon. And they say in our Mishnah, Techiloso Kol Shehu, that even if it is a very small, miniature, as I put it, dollhouse size oven, if that's what it is, though it's Mekabel Tuma with a Kol Shehu. However, the Gemara there refuses to accept that. And the Gemara says that the height has to be at least a Tefach. And then, that's the meaning of Techiloso Kol Shehu. If it's only a tefach size, so it's not, it can't be used for baking for actual baking in any serious way. However, it is sufficient to qualify as a tanur. It has the name tanur if, for example, it's a toy for children. But it has to be at least a tefach. Then the phrase vishirov rubo, meaning that if this tanur is broken, if rov, if a majority of it remains, then it is not tohor from its tumah. The Gemara there says that the phrase vishirov rubo is not referring to a tanur koton. Because if a tanur koton is only one tefach high and then breaks, so that the shever is less than a tefach is negligible. Less than a tefach is a shard, and it's not mekabel tumah, and if it were part of an originally tomei keli, it is now tohor. But rather, says the Gemara, this phrase vishirov refers to a tanur gadol, meaning, even though the chachamim agree with Rab Meir, that for a tanur gadol, the shirayim are abo'o for a sheva to retain its tumah. It must be at least four tvachim high. However, our Mishnah says that according to the Chachomim, there is a distinction between the tanur gadol, which is higher than four tvachim, and a tanur gadol, the distinction that the Chachomim make between a tanur gadol, which the majority of which is more than four tefachim, so that, for example, it's a nine tefachim high tanur, so that the majority of it is more than four tefachim, and they distinguish that from a tanur gadol whose rov is less than four tefachim. For example, a five tefachim high tanur whose rov is a little bit more than 2.5 tefachim. If the rov of the original tanur is more than tfa tfachim, in my example, it was 9 tfachim high originally, then even if the shirayim are not rov, there's only 4 tfachim remaining. So 4 tfachim is not rov of 9. Rov of 9 is 5 tfachim. Nevertheless, if it retains 4 tfachim, it is tamei. So they agree, shirav lafia in such a case of a tanur gadol. That's the meaning of Amedvar Mamurim Begadol. However, if the rov is less than four tfachim, for example, if the tanur is, in my example, five tfachim, then even if the shirayim are five tfachim, it's only 3 tfachim high, not 4 tfachim high. But the 3 tfachim high was the rov of the original 5 tfachim high a tanur, then it is still tomei, shiorov rubo. This is the way that the Rash and the Bartanura explain the Mishnah coming out of the Gemara in Meseches Chulin Kufchof Dalet Amen Aleph. So things are much more complicated than we thought, and indeed, they're still more complicated because Rashi and Tosfos have a different pshat in the Gemara in Chulin than I just explained to you. But I'm following, as I try to always do, following the approach of Avadya Bartanura, Rabbi Avadya Bartanura, in his classic commentary, simplified commentary on the Mishnayos. And so we have completed Mishnah number 1 of Perek Chamishi, which dealt with a tanur. Now, the next Mishnah, Beis, deals with a kira, which I explained to you is not cone-shaped as a tanur is, but rather is shaped like a cylinder so that its vertical walls are parallel to each other, unlike the tanur, and which is used for bishul, you cook on top of the kira, and the kira is wide enough to place upon it, on its top surface, 2 kederos, 2 pots side by side. So a kira, in order to qualify as a kira and to be mekabel tumah, is tchilasa shalosh. It must be at least 3 tefachim high. 3 etzbaos high. 3 etzbaos, 3 fingers breadths high. So that's maybe 2 inches or so high. That's already sufficient to qualify as a as a kiro. In learning these Mishnayosin, the way that you distinguish between whether we're talking about tefachim, a tefach being the width of a fist, which is approximately 3 to 4 inches, versus an etzba, which is the width of a finger, which is less than 1 inch, is whether the number which modifies the phrase is in the masculine or the feminine. So in the first Mishnah, when we're talking about Tanur, it says Techiloso Arbo. Arbo is a masculine, so it's modifying Tefochim, fist widths. However, here it doesn't say Techiloso Shlosha, which would mean 3 Tefochim, but rather Shalosh, 3 in the Nekeva number. And therefore, it's referring to etzbaos, which are nekeva grammatically. So therefore, if a kira is just 3 etzbaos high, it already qualifies as a kira. Vishireha shalosh, and the broken kira, if a piece of it is 3 etzbaos high, it remains tome. With the condition, Misheti Gomer Malachto, with the condition that the Kira is a finished product. A Zehu Gemar Malachto, what constitutes the final end of the process of manufacturing a Kira? Mishiyasikeno Kedei Levashel Oleho Beitzo Kalo Sheba Beitzim, when it is heated from within and therefore strong enough so that you can cook upon it, upon the top surface of it, a beitzo kala, which the Gemara in various places defines as a chicken's egg. So you can fry upon it, cook upon it a chicken's egg, kala sheba beitzim, terufa, the egg is scrambled, is stirred, and mixed with olive oil, which makes it cook that much quicker. Unisuna beilfos, and it's placed upon a already preheated frying pan. So if it's just heated enough so that I can cook the egg, which is already scrambled and mixed with oil, and it put upon a heated preheated frying pan, then that's the gemar malacha, which is a relatively minimal amount of hasaka of heating from the inside. Hakupach. The utensil called a kupach. A kupach is also a kira, but a small kira, upon the surface, top surface of which you can only place one pot. It's only wide enough to hold one pot. But since it's smaller, its heat is greater than the kira, but still less than the tanur. So it depends. Asa'uli afiyo, if you made this kupach for baking within it, in other words, you're going to put small bits, small balls of dough inside the kupach, using it like a tanur, then shiuro katanur. Then the kupach has to be at least 4 tefachim high in order for it to be considered a full kupach for the purposes of baking. And the gemar malacha, the finished end point of the manufacturing process, would be when it's heated enough to bake inside of it sufganim, these spongy dough-like cookies. Aso lebishul, but if the kupach is made for cooking, you're going to put something on the surface, a pot, a pan on the surface to cook, then shiuro kikiro, then it's sufficient to be considered a kupach, a full kupach, if it is 3 fingers, shlalosh etzbaos high, and the gemar malacha would be if it has been heated sufficiently to cook upon it the beitz or kala, which we learned is the definition of a gemar malacha for the kira. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, ha'even ha'yotza min ha'tanur tefach, if there is a stone, a small stone affixed to the side of the tanur, so that you could carry the tanur and move it from place to place. So it's kind of a handle. If that handle protrudes a tefach, umin hakira shalosh etzbos, and if this handle protrudes from a kira just three etzbos. A tefach is four etzbos. A kira, it's sufficient to handle for the kira to be shalosh etzbos chibur. So that handle, which is protruding from the side of the tanur no more than the tefach, or the handle, the even, which is protruding from the top of the kira no more, top side of the kira no more than three etzbos, is a chibur. It's part of the tanur or kira, and if the tanur or kira are tameim, so is this even protruding a tefach or a shalosh etzbos. Hayotze min hakupach, the handle which protrudes from a kupach, well, it depends. Asol leafia, if the kupach is made for baking within it, shiuro kitanur, then If the handle which protrudes up to a tefach is considered a chibur, an attachment, a part of the kupach, and if the kupach becomes tomei, so does this even. Aso levishul, if the kupach was made for cooking upon it, then shiuro kakiro. Then the shiur is like a kira, just three etzbos. However, in the case of a tanur, if the even protrudes outside, horizontally outside of the tanur, more than a tefach, the additional more than a tefach, beyond the tefach, remains tohor. That's not considered a chibur. And similarly, in the case of a kira, whatever protrudes, the even which protrudes more than three etzbos, from the point of the end of those three etzbos outward, is not Mekabel Tumma. The Chibur is only in the case of a Tanur up until the point of the end of the Tefach. And in the case of the Kira, up until the point of the end of three Etzbos of protrusion. Beyond that is not a Chibur. Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Omru Tefach Elo Bein HaTanur V'la Kosel. If this Tanur is up flush against the Kosel, so then anything which protrudes more than a tefach in the case of a tanur is eventually going to be cut off because it's getting in the way. It's rubbing up against the wall. So therefore, only that which protrudes a tefach, up until a tefach, is mekabel tumo. But anything beyond the tefach is considered superfluous. It's going to be cut off, trimmed off, because it's getting in the way of the airspace between the tanur and the kosel. And since it's going to be cut off, it's not considered a chibur. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the tefach was protruding not bein tanur la kosel, but protruding between the tanur and the rest of the room, so then if it's even two tefachim, three tefachim, four tefachim of protrusion, you have a very long handle, it's all a handle, you're not going to trim it off because it's not interfering with the wall. It's facing in the other direction where there could be a lot of space. And there's a lot of space, even if it protrudes more than a tefach, the whole handle, the whole even is mekabel tuma if the tanur becomes tome. Hoyu shnei tanurim smuchim ze lo ze. Suppose you have two tanurim which are adjacent to each other, and there's one big long stone which connects them. So then, no same lo ze tefach v'lo ze tefach. So the tefach, which is next, as I say, a left-hand tanur and a right-hand tanur, both next to each other, with the even acting as a bridge between them. So then, the tefach near the left-hand tanur is mekabel tuma from that tanur. The tefach next to the right-hand tuma is mekabel tuma from the right-hand tanur. V'hashar, everything in between those extremes. So let's say the even was four tefachim long, so only the left tefach and the right-hand tefach of that bridge are considered part of those tanurim and the mekabel tumah from those tanurim. But the two tefachim in the middle of the bridge, hashar, tohor, they remain tohor. The Gemara Meseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, discusses this latter din and bases it upon the Pasuk in Chumash, in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Hey. Look it up. The Pasuk there says, Tanur v'kirayim yutots, temeyim heim, u temeyim yihiyu lochem. that a tanur or a kira, which become tomei, must be smashed. There's no way of purifying them in a mikveh. There's no way of making them tahor except smashing them. They are tomei and they shall be tomei. Lochem. So the Gemara darshins, lochem l'chol tzorcheichem. That when it says tamei emiyu lochem, it means it's to be used for your purposes. And therefore, the handles of the tanur and the kira, which is the even which we've been discussing at the end of this Mishnah, it's a handle, it's a yad, it's also mekabel tumo. But how, if a handle protrudes 3 feet, do we say the whole thing is a handle or only the innermost tefach? So the Gemara there darshins, Yochol Shani Marbe Yoser Mekushir. You may think that anything, if the Evan is 4 tfachim long, all 4 tfachim are considered one very long handle and it all becomes Tomei if the Tanur is Tomei. No. It says Temeim Haim. It, the Tanur, and its immediate Yad, it's a handle which is immediately functional, right next to it, the Tefach adjacent to it. That is Makabel Tumah with the Tumah of the Tanur. But that which protrudes beyond that tefach is superfluous and therefore is not mekabel tuma. And so we have finished Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Beis of Perek Hei, and in the process have concluded lesson number 16.